Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Monday, the 27th of January, 2025. I'm your host, Richard Carey. And this is Beyond the Official Narrative, joined by UK co-host and RBN host Paul Edward Stevenson. And Paul, I see we have a caller already here early in the second hour. We have Charlie in Florida. And Charlie, hey, I really appreciated you on my my roundtable panel on Friday. Thanks again, sir.
Oh, you're welcome, Richard. It was my pleasure. I enjoyed it very much. It was a lot of fun.
Great.
The reason I'm calling in is you guys were talking about the money and stuff that that Trump has you know, put a halt to going over to Ukraine. The money that was already, there's some money that he can't stop. And that's the money that goes to the military funding for to fund the military over there, because that was passed by Congress, and it's already in a bank over there somewhere of international settlements, and they can't get it out of there. But he has, from what I understand, it's like discretionary spending and stuff like that that he's put a halt to, which we've been supporting over there too. We've been supporting everything over there. Even their teacher salaries over there. I mean, we pay for everything, their police, their ambulances, everything over in Ukraine. And he's
pensions,
put a halt to that. And hello? Yes?
Yeah, their civil service, their pensions, everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and that's the money that he's put a halt on. And the reason is they want to investigate to find out where it's going. Like, I guess a lot of you probably heard about this psychiatrist here that he found, I don't know, $150,000 or something like that in his home, and he owns all these, you know, fancy cars and stuff. And they're and plus the people in Congress, they're wanting to find out if the Biden administration, I think, has been mishandling this money as well. So, you know, so that's what the investigation's about, I think.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is just one big money laundering scheme, you know. And you know, I know stories. I know a story where there was a girl who the Italian government, at the expense of the taxpayers, Italian taxpayers, give her an apartment in Lake Como, one of the most salubrious tourist spots and areas you could possibly live in, not only in Europe but in the world. I don't know where you've been to Lake Como, but it is one of the most beautiful parts of the world. It's not, you know, just about half an hour south of the Italian and the Swiss Alps. Massive, beautiful lake. Very, very wealthy people. Anyway, she's given this girl was, and she, by the way, she lived in the Crimea. And she basically got herself to Europe as a refugee because, of course, Europe doesn't recognize Crimea as Russian territory. It recognizes it as Ukrainian territory. So she was a legitimate Ukrainian refugee. And yet, at the same time, this girl had three properties in Crimea that she was still able to have an income from. So her properties are safe. You know, three properties, they're safe from Russian bombing. But, you know, in brackets, why would Russia be bombing their own territory anyway? But little old her, she was in great danger from this war. So even the Ukrainians, there's been so many abuses, and I guess you can't blame them. But, you know, Zelensky gets paraded around. Some of the rhetoric of this guy, he acts like he's got all the cards to play. And we have facilitated that in the West and created this and it's the same. You know, you hear about Ukrainians complaining in Ireland when money that the government had already given to them, after about 6 months, it was suggested they'd have to start paying for their own food, instead of the hotels and the accommodation they were staying in giving them free food, they started complaining, well, this food's not that great, you know? So well, here they have this, yeah.
Well, here, I mean, I have this that I received regarding Friday, and Charlie, this just suggests foreign assistance. I don't know. Trump halts Ukraine aid as State Department totally went nuclear on foreign assistance. The Trump State Department on Friday halted spending on almost all foreign aid grants for 90 days, which also appears to apply to funding for military assistance to Ukraine. Politico wrote, the guidance issued by Secretary of State Marco Rubio was sent to all diplomatic and consular posts and orders all department staffers to issue stop work orders on nearly all existing foreign assistance awards. So I don't know. I mean, I suppose like any sort of money for them. So I don't know if they're still sending weapons if they have any Ukrainian troops to use the weapons. You know what I mean? But it's saying foreign aid assistance, Charlie. I don't know. Is there something else in addition to that one? Or maybe that's the only one we've heard about?
Well, the stuff that Congress has already approved is already over there. Now, this may be ongoing aid that was still going on. I think Biden, at the very last few minutes of before Trump was sworn in, actually sent some money or tried to send money over there. So maybe that has to do with some of this as foreign aid or something. I don't know. But I do know what about the other, because that can't, that's already, I know that that's already over there. I've already heard about that. But so I don't know. It's probably two different categories of money somehow. You know, one is labeled as foreign aid. The other was, you know, something else, a war reparation or something. I don't know what it is. But sure.
And that retreat sounds like it was pretty severe. Russian troops have been gaining ground on the Eastern Front at an exponential rate throughout all of December, really, with the key city I have trouble pronouncing some of these. Velika Novosika.
Novoskaya?
Novoskaya.
Yeah. Novosika, I think it's called.
Novosika?
Yeah, Novosika
okay.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, well, what that but, key
yeah,
city
that's
was nearly.
Deal, it, Richard.
But it was,
that's a big
it was,
deal.
Yeah, it was nearly encircled and ready to fall after weeks of incomplete reports on the situation. Ukrainian officials have finally confirmed the area has been overrun. Some reports
yeah,
also
it
indicate,
has been, yeah.
Some, yeah, but no,
it
they're saying
it only took them 9 days
but listen,
to take
listen,
that
listen,
city.
It's pretty severe in the way it occurred, though. Some reports also indicate that Ukrainian soldiers were nearly surrounded during the retreat. You know, so they were almost encircled where they couldn't even retreat, basically. You know, Kiev
That's
claims
right.
There's been no encirclement, while Russian footage of cleanup operations on the ground indicates that some Ukrainian units may have been abandoned. So perhaps there's a conflicting opinion on some of that. But.
No, they're completely surrounded, and thousands of them have died. And this is important, too, because not so much for that area, but it's important because nothing's stopping them to go into what they call the Dnieper River area. And once they get that area, that it's basically nothing. It's all nothing stopping them. And that to take over other large areas of the over there, and so that's why it's a strategic location. That place, that's what it was. What's important about that?
Okay.
Yeah,
and
no,
I'm trying to, and
there
were
thousands of troops there, Ukrainian troops, and they were trapped, and they couldn't get out. And yeah,
no, my apologies for the pronunciation. I'm trying to read small print quickly on the air, and not. Yeah, doing it very good justice. Well, Paul, though, did you want to reply to this whatsoever?
Yeah, well, the fall of Velika Novosilka, when that's happening, this guy Zelensky still has this attitude that he's somehow in a position he still hasn't removed, for example, that there's legislation that he brought in that forbids any negotiations with the Russians. He still thinks we want the territories back and Crimea too, and we want to join NATO. And, you know, we have facilitated and enabled this attitude of entitlement in this guy. I've never seen anything like it. And it's kind of, maybe it's subsiding among the people, but it's sort of spread across the country because the red carpet was rolled out for the Ukrainians. And these are the same Ukrainians that were able to perpetrate a coup in 2014, and they allow this scumbag to stay in power? You know, don't they care about their young men now going out to fight and die? Their brothers and their uncles and their fathers have obviously been out being slaughtered in the meat grinder. Now they're proposing send their 18-year-olds in. When are these people going to commit a coup and get rid of this guy?
Well, you know? And of course, you know, obviously the media, the establishment media, as is saying, has remained relatively quiet on the event, even though geolocated video footage showing Russian troops raising flags over the center of the city are circulating widely on social media. Analysis of known Ukrainian defenses suggests that Kiev's lines are thin beyond Velikaya Novosika, and that the city was the last major stronghold preventing Russian troops from surging into central Ukraine, and the Dnipropetrovsk Oblast region. I'm sorry, I butcher all of this pronunciation. I don't keep up with enough of it to hear others pronouncing it. But this was made vulnerable. You know, this territory, Velika Novosika, was made vulnerable to Russian attack after Ukraine retreated from Volodar, roughly 30 kilometers, 18 miles east. The Ukrainians originally claimed that Volodar was strategically unimportant, but the loss has proven to be disastrous. And Charlie, you've probably been keeping up with this, the recent developments as well.
Well, I try to, Richard, yeah. Best I can. I mean, I try to keep up with it. Is there a question in there somewhere?
Well, no. I mean, just as far as the rest of this, the prevailing ugly truth for the Ukrainians is one of manpower. They don't have enough. In the early days of the war, a steady stream of Western mercenaries, mainly of them military veterans from the U.S. and the U.K., flooded into Ukraine along with NATO weapons, cash, and quote-unquote advisors. This source of extra manpower dried up at least 18 months ago. The initial retreat by Russia in the East in 2022 was wrongly interpreted by Western media as a sign of surrender by Vladimir Putin. But Russia was, in fact, reforming their lines in order to execute a new attrition strategy. Attrition warfare negates the tactical advantages of maneuver warfare commonly used by NATO armies. Continuing Russian gains bring into question the context of peace talks being arranged by the new Trump administration. It is unlikely that Putin will accept any agreement that requires Russia to give up any part of the Donbass region. Russia has all the leverage.
I can address this war of attrition thing if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. See, what Russia's done is a lot of us thought, you know, when they first went in over there, they would take the country really fast and everything. And then they fell back, and then it took them longer and longer. And eventually we thought, what's going on, you know, over there? But what it was is their strategy all along appears to be the war of attrition, which means you wear the enemy down slowly over a long period of time to the point to where the enemy doesn't have anything left. And that's what's happened in Ukraine. They're out of money, they're out of weapons, they're out of ammunition, they're out of men, they're running out of men.
Morale,
of course, yeah. And then this guy Zelensky, by the way, he's not even an elected president. This is 2 years now he hasn't he's withheld the election, so he's actually not even a sitting president. But the thing is that they run out of everything, okay? That's the point. And that's where they're getting at right now. That's where Ukraine is at right now. And absolutely nothing is going to help them. Because Europe is spent out, has sent basically everything they can. We've sent everything. Biden sent everything they could. And the only thing left is Donald Trump talking this peace kind of deal, which, I mean, it makes no sense, I mean, what he's saying. And by the way, just so you know, there's 88,000 Russian troops, according to Media Zona, today who does independent reporting all over the world on wars all over the world have said that they are at 88,000, not a million, right? 88,000 troops since the beginning of the war is all that Ukraine, Russia's lost. Ukraine, on the other hand, has probably lost upwards of 200,000 soldiers and possibly as many as 500,000 civilians. And by the way, Zelensky left today to go to the Auschwitz ceremony, which Russia wasn't even invited to, and they are the ones that liberated Auschwitz. Is it a backward world or what?
Right.
I don't think the Ukrainians have suffered anywhere near 500,000 civilians. I think they probably suffered close to 10 times, you know, what the Russians have lost in military power, but the civilian casualties have been pretty minimal because they've went out of their way not to be attacking civilians, you know. But I would say there's maybe close to a million Ukrainian soldiers have died in that war. Who knows? It's a massive amount of people that died there, you know, in the Ukrainian side, you know.
Well, gentlemen, here I have
I think it's the Ukrainians that killed them, Paul, not the Russians.
Well, the Ukrainians,
when they went into those cities and stuff, they killed the civilians that lived there, that were in the Russian territory areas.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Kind of a little Bolshevik tactic there, right? Well, here, there's a last paragraph to this Zero Hedge I was reading from. Trump has indicated that Vladimir Zelensky is also resistant to entering negotiations and insists on continuing the war. Zelensky seems to operate under the assumption that the U.S. or the EU will eventually be forced to deploy troops to the front and that Ukraine will not be required to give up any territory. This, of course, would result in a new world war over a country that most Americans are no longer interested in propping up.
Okay, let me tell you something.
Charlie,
that last thing you read about when you were reading about them moving into taking over that Oblast area there that I said it was the Dnieper River area as they're leaving this last area and nothing's stopping them. This is why they want to stop the war so fast. And I think this is why Trump is in such a big hurry, because that means they're in shot of taking the last quarter of all the uranium and those kind of deposits over there that they have, which would basically bankrupt BlackRock, okay? All the money, I mean, it would bankrupt them, but it would mean that all the money that BlackRock has spent to support Ukraine and buy off people and everything, whatever, you know, here in the Congress. But basically it means that Russia's taking that last little chunk of their resources away from Ukraine. And I think that's really why they want to make a deal so quick, you know?
Paul?
Yeah, Zelensky's in a very bad position. I mean, if he's relying on, you know, NATO coming to his rescue, well, maybe that would be possible if Tony Blinken was continuing in his role or he was a new president. But when you've got Trump, who's looking very much like he's just not interested in Ukraine, and the Europeans who don't have the economic, and particularly because of Ukraine, they have drained their economic might. Whatever they had, it's way worse now than it was 3 years ago. They've given them so many weapons. The people in so many of the European countries, including our own, are sick and tired of Ukraine. There is no appetite, there is no money, there is no weapons for what Vladimir Zelensky seems to think is going to happen. You know, so unless he knows something I don't,
I mentioned AFD, but more seriously, of course, Germany is tapped out because they have their own economic problems due to their disastrous policies and immigration, so they can't keep funding it either. But
immigration,
you know, again,
the Nord Stream pipeline, you know, yeah. It's like you name it. I mean, you know, how much did the Ukrainian refugees cost and still cost the Germans?
Donald Trump, though, is insisting that, that Russia is in financial dire straits.
Putin will put him straight when he goes over there. And he basically reveals his hand that, listen, there's nothing you can do. You can't threaten us with sanctions. You know,
well, here, I mean,
we're kind of used to them.
I'll give you a couple of quick quotes here, okay? I mean, Trump on his Truth Social, he puts, "If we don't make a deal and soon, I have no other choice but to put high levels of taxes, tariffs, and sanctions on anything being sold by Russia to the United States and various other participating countries." And then Trump had been talking tough January 22 post, all right, where he suggested the war is ruining Russia and that Putin should seek peace before it's too late. Russia's economy, quote, is failing, unquote, Trump wrote. So, yeah.
This is
it's as bad as Von der Leyen saying it was in tatters, right? You know, it's absolutely no truth to any of that.
Yeah, I think Donald Trump should worry. I'll tell you what, Donald Trump should worry more about the actual fundamental pillars of the economy in the United States, because it's pretty much based on being propped up by stimulus and artificially low interest rates, none of which Russia does.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
When it comes to fundamentals of an economy and the debt that Russia basically has got, massively low debt compared to the U.S. and the EU and our own country. I mean, it's all just artificial. It's a house of cards, our economy, our economies in the West, and particularly the United States, because of the hegemony of the U.S. dollar. So, you know, there's nothing he can threaten Putin with. And by the way, how much does Russia export to the United States now? I mean, they've been dealing with these sanctions and these kind of threats and everything else for the last 3 years. That's not going to, like, it's just not going to be a factor to Trump or to Putin. It might be a factor.
Well, this was largely, I mean, the total.
Well, the answer is nothing. The only thing that they export to us is uranium right now, and they're not going to stop that, because then our nuclear power plants would have to find another source for their uranium. But yeah, everything else has been sanctioned already.
Yeah, and Russia and China are so much closer as well. I mean, you know, China exports, you know, if Trump was to say, well, we're going to, you know, put big tariffs on the Chinese, well, that's great, Donald. That's not going to be very good for your voting bloc at the next election. Because,
these taxes and tariffs, he's trying to make it sound like it's going to be such a big deal. The tone and content have pleased Kiev, of course, as well as Western advocates of pressure on Russia. Ukraine's foreign minister said Trump's remarks sent a strong signal. But Moscow, meanwhile, quickly set out to show that the threat of new sanctions won't work. Putin's spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on January 23rd that the Kremlin doesn't see, quote, any particularly new elements here, unquote.
Well, quite. Exactly. What's new? I mean, they've been sanctioned, you know, to hell and back. This might work with Mexico. It might work with, you know, some of these types of countries, but not a country like Russia, who's been able to, you know, deal with these sanctions quite handily, actually. And their own economy has flourished in many ways because they're not importing a lot of this stuff that they might otherwise have done. They've started to make their own cars and their own products, and that has actually encouraged business in their own country as well. So, you know, none of this is going to wash with the Russians. So, you know, unless, I don't know, I mean, it's only a matter of time before the reality descends on Zelensky and the Europeans that the game's over and they've lost in Ukraine, and that's that. And what will happen to Zelensky then? I don't know. I mean, not much, I guess. It's like there's not really anything he can do. There's nothing he can do.
Charlie?
Well, I don't know. I guess Zelensky could go back to dancing in a bar or something like that. You know, that's what he does best, right? Dress up in drag and dance like a belly dancer or something, you know?
But he's a complete scumbag. Complete scumbag. You know? Complete little... Yeah, just a complete little upstart scumbag, if ever there was one, who needs to be put in his place, you know.
Hey, Paul, I got a question for you. What do you think about Keir Starmer over there trying to meet with Zelensky and saying that he's going to back Zelensky for the next 100 years?
just absurd, ridiculous. I think he needed to get out of the UK to take, you know, because he needed a break from the level of hatred that's felt towards the man, because he was the most unpopular president or prime minister to ever take power, and he's even more unpopular today. So I guess he thought, maybe I can, you know, change the narrative a little bit if I go over and, you know, promise our unwavering support for Ukraine for the next 100 years. Listen, mate, the Ukraine as we know it is not even going to probably exist in 100 days. You know,
right?
It's like 100 years. Now, like you said, you made a good point. You know, these BlackRock guys—they're not going to be very happy because these guys all wait. You know, they all wagered. They all made their bets on this phony idea, this misplaced belief that they were just going to destroy the Russians. And, oh, great, let's go in and take all the natural resources in Ukraine and make a deal with Zelensky. Well, I think you're going to have to be making a deal with the Kremlin at this point for some of those natural resources, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. That's funny. I never thought. But, yeah, I don't doubt if Ukraine will last 100 days. It's getting pretty dire over there. That was good.
Yeah, so you can see the panic in Zelensky. Because he's probably made all sorts of deals based on, you know, Uncle Sam and the criminal syndicate that Uncle Sam is. And Uncle Sam doesn't like being let down because Uncle Sam rules the world, don't you know?
I would assume that a lot of those mafia types over there in Ukraine are going to be mad when if he doesn't pay them off, too.
Well, exactly. You know, so, yeah, no doubt he'll, you know, end up in the end and, you know, in a nice, you know, mansion in Italy or whatever. But I actually wish the Russians would go in there and take the guy out, to be quite honest. He's a complete scumbag and I'm sick of him, you know, running around with a sense of entitlement. To some extent, you know, largely, you know, the United States and the West have facilitated and enabled this attitude. But, you know, it's like he's like one of these guys. You know, he's like a drug addict or something, and he's got rich parents, and his parents keep like buying him things, nice car, and he crashes the car, nice house, he burns the house down, and keeps taking his drugs, and he's running around, you know, wagging his finger at his parents and saying, "Where's my new house?" I mean, because they've been giving him everything instead of saying, "You're not in a position to be demanding anything. You're a little low life scumbag. Go and sort your life out. You're on your own." And that is what's coming for Zelensky, I think, you know. Now, personally, he's going to be all right, I'm sure. He's probably worth a billion. I mean, where does all that money go? You know, it's like, you know, it's if they did an audit on that, I would say it's probably more than half of it has just been skimmed. It's just been, you know, embezzled, really, you know. Because, I mean, Ukraine, it's one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It's like a disgrace, you know.
It was always one of the most corrupt countries in the world for years. It's been that way.
Yeah, I mean,
you can buy anything there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I'm not Ukrainian because it would be an embarrassment to be from that place. You know, it's like it's like a white African country, but not just your average African country. It's like the worst African country you could think of, with violence and corruption and bribery and everything else. I mean, that country is just disgusting.
Here we have the bottom of the hour break. Stick around, gentlemen. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Charles de Gaulle once said, "Actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold." Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best, and we'll help make it. It's called The Death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey reminding you to please support RBN. We've had a good bit of help with getting that massive server bill finally paid, and that still, of course, as of like about a week ago, last estimates, about $2,000 behind on bills and payroll. And what have you. End of the year, start of the new year, it's kind of common, but, you know, still, it's really not a very solid place to be, where we really could use some help soon to help get us in a better position starting off the year here. And look, 3 years on, you know, since John Stadmiller, our founder, passed, and the staff is still keeping things going, you know, and you know, don't forget about what it takes to you know, keep all of this going and making all this possible. So please, again, folks, you have all the information on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on that donate page. You have PayPal there as an option. The number's there for calling in to donate. You can donate at 800-724-2719. Or you can mail cash check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, you can mail that 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And again, we're joined tonight by Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson, fellow RBN host here, live from the UK. And we have Charlie in Florida here with us as well. You know, in shifting a bit, but on the topic of trade wars and the like, I mean, to think that that alone could have the effect on Putin regarding Ukraine is ridiculous. Certainly to think that he would give up any territory, which clearly they have now and have more right to, you know, and the people. But Colombia, evidently a fast turnaround. Trade war ends in less than 10 hours after Colombia agrees to all of Trump's terms. Just after 10 p.m. Eastern and just under 10 hours after Trump lobbed the first shot in the first trade war of his second administration, the White House announced that Colombia has agreed to all of Trump's terms, including the unrestricted acceptance of all illegal aliens from Colombia returned from the United States, including on U.S. military aircraft, without limitation or delay. Based on this agreement, the White House notes the hastily drafted tariffs and sanctions, quote, will be held in reserve and not signed unless Colombia fails to honor this agreement, unquote. So will remain in effect until the first plane load of Colombian deportees is successfully returned. So so Charlie, yeah, we keep hearing, you know, snidbits of optimism from Trump. And I don't know what your thoughts are about, you know, everything that we've been hearing about the Panama Canal and, you know, then suddenly all this other stuff talking about Greenland and Canada. And I don't know, it seemed like it got a little ridiculous once Canada was discussed to me, you know, and I don't know why if some of that was just, you know, grandstanding. It seems like it's almost giving ammunition to, you know, his opposition to have stuff to laugh at him about on all their shows and everything and in the media over in Europe as well. But I don't know, Charlie, do you want to comment on any of the domestic policies Trump's begun?
Yeah. First of all, let me state this plainly so everybody understands it. I am basically a Donald Trump supporter and always have been. Donald Trump did the same thing his first administration, only people don't know it. See, this time he's publicizing all these letters and stuff that he's signing. But he did the same thing the first time he was elected, but he didn't ever publicize it, and it was people didn't understand it. But he was accomplishing all kinds of stuff his first term. But I will call him out when I think he's wrong, and I think he's wrong with this deal with Russia. But as domestically, by the way, the president of Colombia said he was going to send his own private jet to pick up the first load to fly the prisoners back. That's how quick they turned around. But no, Trump is doing great things. Matter of fact, he just called on Congress just a little while ago or today to abolish the income tax. Trump is trying to do great things. I think domestically, I think he's probably the best president we ever had. But his international diplomacy is beyond sucks. I don't know if it's this guy Kellogg or what, but whoever he's listening to doesn't know what they're telling him, and he needs to wise up there. Yeah.
And, well, Charlie, do you have any updates for us on the, well, U.S.-Israeli relations and, you know, all of Israel's ongoing hostilities, well, including Gaza.
Yeah, well, Hamas has basically kicked their ass, okay? You saw the prisoner exchange the other day, for the first thing. Those were all Hamas people in the street. Okay? Israel basically is folded. I don't know. Netanyahu is up. I heard he's facing charges now and a few other things. And I don't know. The Knesset's mad at him. I think that he's Netanyahu might be in trouble. I don't know what's going on there. But the genocide is continuing. As far as I know, there is no peace thing if it's been signed or whatever. I thought they were supposed to have peace, and then they were going to, sign a peace agreement or something of that nature. But I don't think anything's been signed yet. And from what I understand, there's still been bombs dropped over there and on tents and things like that in Gaza. So Israel hasn't stopped any of the aggression yet, even though they may have during the last few days of these prisoner exchanges. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with the Israel part of it that much in the last few days.
Well, based on the quotes I heard a week or two ago, it's Netanyahu sounded like, they're claiming optimism, but they have a lot of negotiating in the Knesset, basically, and a lot of voting to decide on, different key factors in the agreement. So, plenty of opportunity to make it, unachievable.
I will comment on this. Here again, Trump is kind of like out to lunch on his foreign policy. I hate to say it. Like I said, I'm a Trump fan, basically, but he was saying that he was talking about like to ship the Palestinians to another country. They're not going anywhere. They don't want to go anywhere. They've been fighting and dying for that land. They're going to stay there. And besides that, the other countries don't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. These other countries don't want them. So I don't know who's advising Trump here. I really don't. Whoever's giving him foreign policy advice needs to rethink what they're doing.
Paul?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trump came out and basically said, let's make a deal with the Jordanians and the Egyptians and the Palestinians and go there because Palestine, that whole region's it's a mess. And, it's these people have been fighting for centuries among themselves. No, they weren't. I mean, they've been fighting since the early 20th century when the Jews poured in there, and then it escalated as the State of Israel was became a reality, for centuries. And he's like, oh, the place is a mess, we'll make a deal. Like you said, well, maybe the Palestinians might have something to say about that, if it was that easy. And so what might the Jordanians and the Egyptians, who have no intention of taking any more Palestinians, and Trump's like, oh, the place is, have you seen the place? The place is a complete mess. Yeah, why, what happened, Donald? Was there an earthquake or something? We need to get these Palestinians out. There's a big earthquake, destroyed them. Oh, no, sorry, that was... our greatest ally in the Middle East has been bombing them into oblivion, and now you want to finish off the ethnic cleansing by just shipping them out and making a deal with Jordan. So it hasn't been a natural disaster, Donald, in case you didn't know. Our greatest ally, you've been supplying, America's been supplying weapons to, during the whole duration of this genocide, has been flattening the place. He acts as if it's like, honestly, like it's an earthquake or something. I mean, it really is absurd. Some of Trump's foreign policy ideas, it's like, does he know anything about what's going on in the world?
Hey, gentlemen, I see we have another. Well, Charlie, why don't you stick around here? I see we have another caller, and maybe we could turn this into a bit of a panel discussion here. We have Miles joining us. Miles in Maine. Miles, the Maine man. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good to hear my one of my favorite crews there. And I always love hearing Paul. You know that. But
hello, Miles. Hello, sir.
Hello there, brother. How are you?
Yeah, doing good, mate. Good, doing good. I've made it through almost the 2 hours because I was had intended to come on for about half an hour, 40 minutes. But, once I get started and start ranting and pontificating.
It's you. It's you all the way. Charlie, I couldn't agree with Charlie more. He's got a nice insight on things. And you know what we got to remember? Trump, You know what Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And Trump's in a big card game. He's in a big card game, and they're trying to look at his hand while he's pulling those cards close to his chest. Now, Trump says some things, but we can't really always go by what Trump says, because remember, Trump's got a posture to the crowd as well. So some of those things he says that we might not agree with, you got to remember, Trump's trying to bring them popcorn and circuses too. And I think he's just done a masterful job. I mean, as I see it, I don't see anything in the way of him being man of the century with what he's done in 1 week. I mean, today's 1 week, and it's been phenomenal. So I think we got to consider that. With Putin, I think Putin's got things under control the way he wants them. I think the more we neutralize Zelensky, and I think that's what Trump's in the process of. I mean, Trump's in the process of telling him, Zelensky, it's lights out for you. I mean, you're not in a position to do anything other than surrender.
Yeah, no, and, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to do anything to anybody.
And I don't think... I don't think Trump likes them either. I mean, I think, Trump sees through the facade, and he sees this little scumbag for what he is as well, which is not going to help his case.
And you can tell that by the way Trump doesn't even call him. Trump calls him the representative, you know, like he's just some state asset or something.
He always wears the green fatigue clothing, Zelensky, almost like he's trying to overcompensate, make it seem like he has some military experience, right?
I don't know, then it would be a good idea if you would lead the pack. You know, if you're such a military leader, get on out here. You know, I'll tell you what, Gaddafi wasn't afraid to do it. Gaddafi got out there, and look, by the time Gaddafi was 27, through, you know, his example, the people said, you know what, this is the kind of guy we need. I don't see anyone in Ukraine saying, you know, Zelensky, you're the kind of guy we need. They just can't figure out what to do with him.
Yeah, well, he brought up a good point there, and I think what Trump is doing is setting up Zelensky. What he's doing, I've actually thought about this. I think that Trump is actually, you know, making all these bravado statements about Russia and everything like that, but he knows that Russia, there's nothing to sanction him with, and he knows that this thing about the oil prices, he's not going to do that. I mean, that'd be crazy. The whole world would suffer because of dropping oil prices and stuff. What I think he's going to do is he's going to just wash his hands of the deal. And he's trying, and he's looking for a way out, and he's just going to say, Zelensky, Putin didn't follow his advice, and he went in and took over, and he's going to wash his hands out of it that way. I think that Trump basically is looking for a way out of the situation. Maybe that's what he's doing.
Miles, I'm sorry, you were going to, did I cut off another comment about Putin you had?
Well, no, I on the heels of what Charlie said, I agree. You know, Trump knows that Putin's in the driver's seat, and honestly, the whole world knows that Putin's in the driver's seat. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I have a respect for Putin having this unbelievable restraint that he's shown, because I don't know many leaders, you know, I mean, if this was, just about any other leader, they would have went haywire. But Putin is calculating. He's intelligent. He's tough. He's a man for that conflict. You know what I mean? But I can't believe even someone in Zelensky's own, out of his own outfit, hasn't just wiped him out or disabled him somehow from doing any of these things, because he's provided nothing but horror for the Ukrainian people.
And not yeah, but he's getting rich, and so his little buddies, he's paying them all off to protect, to make sure he doesn't die. So while Zelensky's paying them all handsomely, they're happy to leave him there, and as long as he continues the war and keeps the money coming in, that's what that's all about. So once the money stops coming, then he'll be in a panic, and then he'll be worried about his own security from his own people, like you said.
Yeah, and see, and that's what that's my belief too. I think Trump is, letting him know this isn't Biden you're dealing with here. You're not dealing with a guy that's, incapacitated. You're dealing with a guy playing whatever kind of chess, checkers, backgammon, or whatever he's playing. But Zelensky has no capability intellectually or politically to play it with Trump. And Trump, I think, is letting them know that, look, you're all done over here. The bank account's closed. We don't know what kind of idiot allowed you to take this money right out of our country and send it back to the Democratic Party. But I'll bet you that Cash Patel will get down to the bottom of it. And I love how Trump got rid of those inspector generals. Trump's learned a lot since his first term. I think Trump was the kind of person, he wanted to be magnanimous. He didn't want to think that people were there to stab him in the back. And I don't think... he really estimated properly the strength and the full hatred and disenfranchisement of the people that he's dealing with. But I think he does now. And if you notice Trump, he's not always smiling and laughing when he talks. He talks serious. He talks with a different tone. And it's good to see because it's been marvelous. I mean, Trump has been, in my opinion, absolutely wonderful. I mean, in 7 days, and I like, I just love that Witkoff. I call him Steve the Whip Witkoff. And that's the first thing I'd tell Zelensky. You got 72 hours to sign whatever Putin tells you to, or we're sending in the Whip Witkoff. And you saw the effects he has. And the same thing with Holman. I tell that lady in Mexico, Sheinbloom or Sheinberg or whatever her name is, I'd say, look, lady, we're bringing them in here. If you don't like it, we're going to send Thomas the Hitman Holman over there. We're going to bring Delta Force, Green Berets, whatever the hell we need, the Dirty Dozen, whatever you want. And they're going back to your area, and if you don't like it, we'll come down there and we'll pick out a leader for you. By Trump, that'll straighten things out for you guys too.
Well, what if Trump just dropped them off, did a pass over the airport down there in Mexico, and threw them out the back door?
Well, you ain't going to get an argument out of me. I mean,
yeah.
However, you get them back,
I wouldn't give an argument to it.
Yeah, I don't know how they got here, what method they used, but I don't care what method you use to get them back there. Do whatever you want. Just get them out of here. I mean, whoever said, our law enforcement is under fire. Everybody's under fire. We already had enough criminals, and now you bring us criminals, drug dealers, extortionists, rapists, pimps, and whatever the hell, Tren de la Guagua and MS-13 and whatever else the hell they got out there, and you bring them all here?
And
I
again,
don't care how you get them out of here.
And again, so far things seem very promising domestically. Geopolitically, though, it does seem like there's a lot to be desired. We'll see how things happen in Ukraine. A lot of it is just maybe due to inevitabilities of Russia's having the upper hand. I mean, I have to wonder, how much this fall of Syria, Israel's capturing of the Golan Heights was orchestrated in advance by many behind the scenes. Could it even have been directly related to the October 7th? And really, they wanted the Golan, as well as being able to, take out as much of the Gazans in the Hamas raids. And I don't know. It's very curious. But will we see things cool down? I mean, as far as war with Iran, is that just once again something they always attempt whenever there's a possibility? But or do you see further escalations in the Middle East, gentlemen? Charlie, what do you think on that?
Well, I think it was a false flag created by Israel I think Israel was behind the whole thing, October the 7th, or the whole thing. I think they did it. They staged it. I think it was their operation. As a matter of fact, there's, you know, they killed the people over there at that festival over there. I think they did it because of this, all this oil and gas and stuff that's off the coast there.
Sure. So then you think that they had a hand in the fall of Syria as well? It was a chain of related events. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Can I definitely think so.
Go ahead, Miles.
Yeah. I mean, does it make sense that anyone on this planet, that these are all supposed to be Israel's enemies, and now they're just happy as a pig in mud that the Muslims are controlling it? I mean, when did that become Israel's, Israel's defense plan that, sure, we'll let the Muslims just come right next door and let them take over Syria? You know, the people that have shown us to be, or if you believe what is being said, that they've been the most radical, yet Israel would allow them to take over when, you know, they had about total control other than the area where Turkey was coming in. But Israel's okay with that now for some reason. And, you know, and I think that's the point. I'd say, well, look, you're comfortable with these people, so it's time for us to get out of here.
Paul, do you have a final thought on any of that?
Well, I'll just say that, you know, for the most part, it's really been a breath of fresh air what Trump's doing domestically and culturally and things like that. Obviously, you know, some of the comments he's made with regards to Russia, and particularly about, you know, how he's going to deal with the Palestine situation is a bit suspect. But I think, you know, overall, I think it's been encouraging, you know. I think Israel, you know, they probably thought it was a great idea because they would, remove Assad. But, you know, I think they've just opened up a can of worms for themselves in there, you know.
Yeah, no, very well put. Well, Miles, did you have a final comment on any of this, sir?
Well, you know, it's going to be, it's just been fascinating to me what Trump has done. And, you know, I just don't think people can sit here and just keep saying, well, you know, he's going to do this or he really thinks this, you know, and same with Musk, you know. Would you rather have Musk 100% against us or 50% on our side? I mean, I'll take the 50% because that's more than we've ever had from anything anyway. And he makes some great points. And didn't he just buy MSNBC?
Paul?
I don't know, but I mean, I was going to just say one point I didn't want to make, for example. Oh, yeah, we're out of time, but okay.
Hey, gentlemen, yeah, I was... wish we had more time with minds like yours. Paul, thank you so much for being here, brother.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, lads. Good to see you.
Thanks, guys. Good to hear you, Charlie. Good to hear you again, Paul.
See you, Miles. See you, Charlie.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, see you.
Great, great, gentlemen. Always good to have the discussion. And, folks, thank you for keeping RBN going. Please give your donations so that we will speak again soon. Until then, transcend the construct. Regards.
Whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed Shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked, and if it's legit, definitely beneficial, but maybe not truly whole. Only raw Shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw Shilajit, legit Shilajit, Colorado Shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org.
Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.